Hello, witchy friends. Welcome to Catstein Witchcraft. My name is Fauna, and I am your host. This podcast is for those who are Wiccan, witches, and everything in between. Don't forget to follow the podcast social media pages at Catstein Witchcraft on Instagram, Catstein Witch on Twitter, and Catstein Witchcraft Podcast at gmail.com. Again, thank you for listening to Catstein Witchcraft, and enjoy the episode. Hello, witchy peeps. Welcome back to the podcast. This is episode 123, and today's episode is going to be about Samhain. Before we get started talking about most witches' favorite Sabbat, we are going to talk about the stone Peridot. Peridot happens to be my personal birthstone, being an August Virgo, so I particularly like this one very much. Starting with the first book of the Essential Guide to Crystals, starting on page 124, it says, "Peridot is the gem quality form of the mineral olivine. Visitors to volcanic landscapes often return with rocks encrusted with peridot. It's an important indicator of volcanic activity and can also be found in meteorites. For identification and care, large crystals are uncommon. You're more likely to find peridot as small beads or rough chips. It has a high luster that increases when worked. Crystals form vertically striated, flattened prisms. It can be somewhat brittle, so it's best kept separate. For magic, says symbolizes the vibrant energy of the natural world, provides protection from harmful forces and influences. For healing functions, it says removes toxins from the body, restores emotional balance, overrides unwanted patterns of thought, enables us to let go of the past, and helps to strengthen personal identity. For keywords, cleansing, freshening, and invigorating." The next book is Cunningham's Encyclopedia of Crystals, Gem, and Metal Magic, and this one starts on page 148. It says, "Peridot, for folk names, chrysolite, peridote, and peridato. For energy, receptive, planet, Venus, element, earth, associated metal, gold, powers, protection, health, wealth, and sleep. For magical uses, as mentioned in the Olivine article, these two stones seem to be nearly identical. One authority told me that the only difference between peridot and olivine was that the latter came from Hawaii. To be most effective magically, the peridot was once set in gold. This makes a fine, if costly, protective amulet, which the ancients said guarded against enchantments, night terrors, and illusions, as well as the universally feared evil eye. This later term is usually defined as being either envy or unconscious psychic attack. Though long associated with the sun, I've attributed it to Venus here because it seems more suited to this planet. Peridot is worn or carried for general healing purposes. Several sources say that cups or other vessels made of peridot were used in healing because medicinal liquids drank from them were more effective. Peridot is said to promote healing of insect bites and to help in liver ailments. The stone is used to attract love as well as to calm raging anger. It is also useful to soothe nervousness and to dispel all negative emotions. Because it is calming to the nervous system, it is also helpful in promoting sleep if worn to bed. Such uses date back to at least the ancient Roman times, when rings of peridot were worn to relieve depression. And the last book that I'm going to go over today for peridot is Llewellyn's Complete Book of Correspondence, starting on page 239. It says, "For solar system, Mercury, Sun, and Venus, season, spring, elements, earth, and fire, chakras, heart, sacral, solar plexus, and throat. For directions, north, northwest, south, and southwest. For goddesses, Banba, Breed, and Pele, zodiac, Leo, Sagittarius, Scorpio, and Virgo. For full moons, August and September, celebration, Lunasa, energy, yin, Tarot, Empress, Hermit, and Strength, number 6, and Magical to attract fairies. For issues, intentions, and powers, abundance, anger, balance, beginnings, calm, clairvoyance, to attract comfort, emotions, enchantment, general and receptive energy, fear, grounding, emotional and psychic growth, happiness, healing, increase, inspiration, light, night magic, money, negativity, nightmares, obstacles, peace, occult power, prophecy, prosperity, protection, purification, renewal and rebirth, to heal relationships, sight, sleep, mental stimulation, strength, stress, success, travel, wealth, well-being, and wisdom. So that is all I have for you today on Peridot. Now on to the main topic of Samhain. So Samhain, our favorite Scorpio celebration. Samhain is one of the Sabbat celebrations that is on the modern witches or Wiccan wheel of the year that many pagans and witches celebrate. We are going to be going over some of the basic history of the celebration, common associations, as well as modern ways people celebrate Samhain and other holidays that are also celebrated around this time of year. Samhain is historically a Gaelic festival celebrated on November 1st, marking the end of the harvest season. It is also commonly celebrated on October 31st by many. The November date of Samhain is for the Northern Hemisphere, while in the Southern Hemisphere it would be its opposite, Beltane. The word Samhain is said to be, when translated, to mean November or summer's end in the Irish language. Samhain is right in the middle of the autumn equinox and the winter solstice, and one of the four Gaelic festivals alongside Imbolc, Beltane, and Lunasa, as well as being defined as one of the fire festivals and cross-quarter days. Like other celebrations and belief, this festival is likely to have evolved over time, and it still continues to do so. In modern times, Samhain was adopted as one of the witches or Wiccan Wheel of the Year celebrations. It has since been melded and adjusted for different pagan and modern magical practices. Especially since much of human history and traditions were passed on orally and not written until way later, and by the point information was already forgotten or altered. So, as a reminder, how we celebrate now may not be 100% accurate or reflect what Samhain of past might have been. We do have information on it, but what we do now is most likely not going to be the same as what they did then, which is okay because things evolve, we evolve, and so do our celebrations. So, moving on. So it is said that during Samhain, it is a time when the veil or barriers between our world or the other world or other side is at its thinnest. Some feel that it is the afterlife, another world, another universe, or the Fey realm. During Samhain, it is common to say goodbye to the light half of the year and say hello to the approaching dark half of the year that comes during the winter solstice or Yule. Until then, the days continue to become shorter and the nights longer. Many take this time during Samhain to work with deities associated with this time of year, necromancy, and or to also honor their ancestors and loved ones that have since passed. This is not limited to only those who are biologically related to you, but also friends, pets, and adoptive family. But you are not limited to just working with the dead. You can also work with different forms of magic that you feel drawn to, and depending on the moon phases, as well as any additional energies that you may want to work with this time of year, and depending on what your needs are. And also, it has historically been common and modernly common for people to have bonfires this time of year. So if you have the property or friends who have the property or even attend a social Samhain gathering, this is a great time for bonfires to be added to your celebration. For many who enjoy the celebrations of Samhain, consider Samhain to be the witches' new year and take this time to work on planning their personal or witch goals for the next 12 months. Personally, I do self readings with a 13 card spread, one card for each upcoming month, plus a 13th card for the theme of the year. And for me, I have had success with this sort of reading, so I would maybe encourage you to look into it as well and see what results you may get. And for many who have never heard the word Samhain pronounced, it is read as if it says Samhain, but it is accurately pronounced sow, as in like the cow, and when. So Samhain, not Samhain. Next, I am going to go over a few different celebrations that are also celebrated this time of year. And the first one is All Saints Day. And All Saints Day, also known as All Hallows Day, is a Christian holiday that is observed on November 1st in Western Christianity. All Saints Day is a Christian memorial day celebrating the honor of all church saints, whether known or unknown. It is a day set aside to honor all the saints who have lived righteous and holy lives in accordance with Christian teachings. Next is All Souls Day, also called the commemoration of all the faithful departed, is a day of prayer and remembrance for the faithful departed observed by certain Christian denominations on November 2nd. Through prayer, intercessions, alms, and visits to cemeteries, people commemorate the poor souls in purgatory and gain them indulgences. And it is widely believed that this day was the church's attempt to replace Celtic festivals of the dead with a related church-sanctioned holiday. Next is Halloween, or All Hallows Eve, and that is a day that we are a little bit more familiar with, and my sources said that it is a day that is historically associated with the historical Samhain, observed on October 31st, the evening before All Saints Day. The celebration marks the day before the Western Christian Fest of All Saints and initiates the season of All Hallowtide, which lasts 3 days and concludes with All Souls Day. In much of Europe and most of North America, observances of Halloween is largely non-religious. Along with other festivals, the celebration of Halloween was largely forbidden among the early American colonists. Although in the 1800s, there developed festivals that marked the harvest and incorporated elements of Halloween. When large numbers of immigrants, including the Irish, went to the United States beginning in the mid-19th century, they took their Halloween customs with them, and in the 20th century, Halloween became one of the principal U.S. holidays, particularly among children. As a secular holiday, Halloween has come to be associated with a number of activities. One of them is the practice of pulling harmless pranks. Celebrants wear masks and costumes for parties and for trick-or-treating, though to have derived from the British practice of allowing the poor to beg for food called soul cakes. Trick-or-treaters go from house to house with the threat that they will pull a trick if they do not receive a treat, usually candy. Halloween parties often include games such as bobbing for apples, perhaps derived from the Roman celebration of Pomona, along with skeletons and black cats. The holiday has incorporated scary beings such as ghosts, witches, and vampires into the celebration. Another symbol of the Halloween day is the jack-o'-lantern, a hollowed-out pumpkin, originally a turnip, though, carved into a demonic face and with a lit candle inside of it. The last additional celebration that we will be going over today is Dia de los Muertos, which is a day of the dead that began around 3,000 years ago with the rituals of the Aztecs, Toltec, and Nahua people, pre-Columbian Mesoamerican cultures who believed that mourning their dead loved ones was disrespectful and that death was the natural next step in the cycle of life. The spirits of the departed were considered members of the community and were kept alive by being honored with rituals that provided them with water, food, and tools that help on the spiritual journey. Like modern-day Dia de los Muertos, these civilizations believe spirits temporarily return to Earth during these ceremonies. Today's version is actually a mix of those pre-Columbian rituals and Christian traditions. With the spread of the power of the Roman Catholic Church in the 4th century, pagan celebrations of the dead, which consisted of bonfires around gravesites, dancing and feasting, started fading away. Instead, the church combines them with their own holidays honoring the deceased, All Saints Day on November 1st and All Souls Day on November 2nd. Then, in Spain during medieval times, believers would place wine, spirit bread, flowers, and lit candles on the graves of their loved one to help them find their way back on All Souls Day. For this last half of the episode, I am going to be going over correspondence lists of things and deities and energies and different things that you can do to celebrate Samhain. The first correspondence that I'm going to go over is a list of a variety of things that is found in the Ultimate Guide to the Witch's Wheel of the Year, starting on page 170. For altar decorations, it says black lace, bones and skulls, candles and lanterns, cauldron, dried flowers, photographs of ancestors, and pumpkins. For animals, bat, cow, crow, dog, owl, raven, snake, supernatural creatures such as shapeshifters, werewolves, vampires, the hag, fairies, etc. For celebrations, ancestral altars, bobbing for apples, divination, silent suppers, and trick-or-treating. For colors, orange, purple, white, black, brown, and gold. For directions, west and north. Elements, water and earth. For food and drink, apple cider, mulled wine, pomegranate juice, pork, pumpkin pie, sweet potatoes, and turnips. For herbs, incense, and oils, acorn, apple blossom, cinnamon, clove, hawthorn, jasmine, mandrake, mugwort, myrrh, nightshade, oak, orange, patchouli, sage, sandalwood, rose hips, rosemary, rowan, rue, wolfsbane, and wormwood. For musical instruments, bells, cello, drums, gongs, and rattles. For stones, amethysts, black tourmaline, bloodstone, hematite, howlite, jet, labradorite, malachite, moonstone, onyx, orange calcite, peridot, and spirit quartz. For symbols, the besom, hag, jack-o'-lantern, moon, and pentagram. Themes, death, passage, remembrance, transition, transformation, and wisdom. Trees, apple, blackthorn, hawthorn, hazel, locust, oak, rowan, willow, and yew. For zodiac and planets, Scorpio, Mars, and Pluto, and Sun at 15 degrees Scorpio. Next is a list of different deities associated with Samhain or the dark half of the year. Hecate, Anubis, Cerdwen, Morrigan, Demeter, Kali, Isis, Artemis, Diana, Persephone, Hades, Athena, the Wiccan crone from the triple goddess aspect, and Hel. For Samhain mythology or folklore, there is the boyhood deed of Fionn, Colloquy of the Elders, Book of Invasions, The Adventure of Nera, The Killing of Crimthan Mac Fieldig, Cattle Raid of Cooley, The Dream of Angus, and The Wooing of Emir. I most likely butchered all of those because those were derived from, I think, some form of Celtic or Gaelic language. So some of those words I know aren't pronounced how they normally would be in English. So I'm sorry for anyone that knows the proper way to pronounce them. Next is ways to celebrate modern Samhain. bonfires, altars and or ancestor altars and dumb suppers, divination, necromancy, celebrating the cycles of life, death, and rebirth. Decorate your home according to the season and personal beliefs and practices that you personally follow this time of year. Cleanse and protect your home. Create crafts and food associated with Samhain. Honor your deities and other energies that you work with. Carve jack-o'-lanterns. Magic that makes you feel aligned with your spiritual self for this time of the year. And come up with a witchy New Year's resolution. Or just, like I said, any magic that you feel called to at this time. So I hope you guys got a little bit of information out of this Samhain episode. I know most of you probably celebrated yesterday on October 31st, or maybe you just celebrate all of October through November, which for many would be the most desirable outcome if they could do that. And some might do it a little more quiet in November just because there's other festivities that go on through November in different parts of the world. But I hope you guys actually got something new out of this episode. It's not necessarily super advanced or complicated information, but I always hope I give you a little bit more than you might have previously had. But like I always say as well, I appreciate every single one of you, and I will talk to you soon. Have a great one. Blessed be.